Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me as we begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549. The doxology, number 549. Is hymn number 698. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the very nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to become equal with God. Instead of his own free will, he gave it all up, and he took the nature of a servant. He became like man. He appeared in human likeness. He was humbled and walked the path of obedience to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name, so that in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven and on earth and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 275. Fairest Lord Jesus, 275, Fairest Lord Jesus. Again and again, you remind us as we come to you in our prayers that you want us to say thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. And God, many times we take those blessings for granted. And God, I would ask that you would help me and help those who need to see those little blessings that are all around us, those little miracles that take place every day that remind us of your presence, to remind us that we are not alone and that you're always with us, God. Lord, we thank you for those blessings, for those miracles. And we thank you, God, that you can open our eyes, that we can see those things that you want us to see so we can draw closer to you. And God, as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, Lord, we not only think of ourselves, but we think of family members and of friends. We think of the patients here throughout this medical center. We think of the staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer in the same way. As we pray for ourselves, we also pray for those that you call to mind right now through the presence of your loving spirit in our lives. And God, in the same way, Lord, we'd ask that you would open their eyes, that they could see the many blessings and the many small miracles that are taking place in their lives, and to remind them that they are not alone as well. And Lord, as we just want to say thank you for this time of worship, the opportunity that we have to freely worship you in this chapel, God, and we do not take for granted the services and the sacrifices of the veterans of this nation, of the past, of the present, and of the future, that will guarantee these freedoms that we have to worship you as we choose. And Lord, we also thank you for the family members that have stood by our veterans, that have been there with them, that have experienced the loneliness, and God has also experienced the pain and the suffering, as many of our veterans have experienced it as well. And God, we are just so thankful. We just want to say praise you, God, for what you've done in our lives. And we are thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 382, Be Still My Soul. Hymn number 382, Be Still My Soul. Wants our soul to be still, always in his presence. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he was sowing, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Other seed fell on the rock, and when it sprang up, it withered, since it lacked moisture. Seed fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up, and with it choked it out. Still other seed fell on good ground, and when it sprang up, it produced a crop 100 times what was sown. As he said this, he called out, "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, just want to say thank you for the many blessings you've given us already, in the spirit and in truth that you represent. As we have read scripture together, we have offered prayers together, we have sung hymns together. And Lord, I would ask that continual spirit of truth, and that you would help me right now. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope you've had a good week. Mine was interesting getting back on track after being gone for about 10 days or so and getting back into the routine of doing things. One of the things I want to speak to you about is I'm going to try to begin a sermon set or a sermon series specifically with dealing with the parables. I'm going to try. We'll give it a shot. And I think what's important to understand about the parables is that in the scriptures, there's over 60 different parables that Jesus talked about, that Jesus expressed. I'm not going to cover all 60, but I'm going to try to cover at least maybe the top 30. So if you're with me for the next 30 weeks, you're going to hear a parable every week. Now, hopefully some of you won't be here 30 weeks from now, and you'll have graduation, and you'll be going on with everything that you've learned here, and you'll just be praising the Lord as you journey through the rest of your life, as you and I are truly pilgrims in this life. So when we think about the parables and understanding them, there's a couple of requirements that I think that is a challenge to me, and also I believe a challenge to you as well, is one thing that Christ wants us to do is he wants to listen and hear what he is saying. And thankfully, through the parables, as he explained them to his disciples and as he explained them to the crowds that were following him, he always gave an explanation just in case you didn't understand what he was talking about. In fact, the word parable itself means, in literal translation, something that goes alongside us. So the teachings of Jesus Christ in his parables for us is something that you and I can value because it goes alongside of us as we journey, as we travel, as you and I are truly pilgrims in this kingdom of this world, waiting to arrive in the kingdom of the eternity that is to come. So you and I are fellow pilgrims. So hopefully all of us together will learn as Christ walks beside us through his parables that we'll have a different insight and a different understanding of how we are to live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. So the parables can speak to us in different ways, and the parables will probably be confronting us in different issues that we need to understand within our own everyday lives. Perhaps the parables will be confirming the things that we have been doing, the things that we've been doing in terms of our walk with God and the maturity and the growth that he wants us to have, and also conforming to us that as we walk with Christ, that we want to do the things that bring glory and honor to him. So the parables that we are learning today about the seed and the sower, we have talked about seeds in the past, the last couple of weeks, and what that means and what that represents. But for us this morning, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he was sowing, some fell along the path. So as we go out and as we practice and hopefully learn about different things that Christ has for us in our lives, we will have that seed be part of our lives and it will not be trampled down. In other words, it will be something that we can use within our everyday lives. But we need to have an open mind to what God has for us as we experience His sowing in our lives, the sowing of the seed of the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to us in different ways. It comes to us by the scriptures that we read. It comes to us by the hymns that we sing. It comes by the prayers that we offer for ourselves and also for each other. It can come from little sayings. It can come from relationships that we have with each other when we speak about the God in our lives in terms of the transformation, hopefully, that is taking place in your life and in my life. So we need to have an open mind as to what God is leading us to do. Because if we have a closed mind, we are truly taking the Word of God that is being applied to our lives, and we are trampling it down, and it has no value for our lives, and the things in our lives that easily overcome us come and takes us away. The birds of the sky ate it up. The things that we deal with on a regular basis, the challenges that we are facing, the different distractions that we have. So if you have a closed mind this morning, nothing that I say to you, none of the hymns that we have sung together, none of the scriptures that we have read together, none of the prayers that we had offered makes any sense to you and has no meaning. Because the seed has fallen along the path, you have trampled it with your closed mind, and all of the different things that are taking place in your life that are different distractions have came and ate it up. And so therefore you will leave here with absolutely nothing. But yet, maybe you don't have a closed mind, maybe you have a cluttered mind, maybe you have different things that are taking place in your life and you're trying to figure it out in terms of putting things in perspective and putting things in priority. Because that represents the other seed that fell on the rock, and when it sprang up, it withered. But it lacked the moisture that we need to have. And I don't have a green thumb. Some of you may. I don't grow plants, even though one time in my life I actually lived on a farm and I understand a little bit about a farming, not a whole lot. I learned more about how to take care of pigs because that was one of my responsibilities. So I don't refer to anybody here as being a pig. All right. But in terms of understanding the clutter that takes place in our lives, we have so many things that easily clutters our minds in terms of the distractions that actually prevents us from hearing the Word of God as it is given to us on a daily basis. The Word of God in terms of how it applies. And maybe that clutter sometimes just needs to be cleared. Maybe we just need to take the time and say, you know, God, I'm just going to be still and I'm going to know that you are God and I am just going to be silent. Or maybe you're the type that always has to have your mind going on something. You always have your mind going here, there, and everywhere. And you don't take the time because you like the clutter. You like the distractions because you don't have to think about where you are in terms of your relationship with God. You don't have to think about the things that you need to work on because your mind is so full of clutter that you're happy with that. You're okay with the busy mind because it's just going, going, going. You're always doing, and somehow that will be okay because it takes away from the problems and the situations that you need to truly work on. But then perhaps your mind is one of those situations where as we look at and we think about it and what it represents, that perhaps your mind is confused. So once again, you have a closed mind, you have a cluttered mind, and perhaps you have a confused mind, a mind that's trying to figure out what to do. And so many things distract us and cause that confusion. We're trying to figure out the truth as it is represented in our lives, who we truly are, searching to find what our meaning is in this life that we've had. And I know some of you are younger than I am, some of you are older than I am, but I look back at the 60 years of my life, and I still ask those same questions. God, I've done some good things, I've done some bad things, am I still on track with you? Because God, many times I get so confused in terms of what direction I should have. There just seems to be so many choices out there for me. What is the direction for me? What do you want me to do? But God reminds us that in our confused mind that He wants us to get back on track with the truth of what we represent in Christ. The truth of who we are. The truth and the direction that God has provided us all along the way. And as we sang, "Be Still My Soul," one of the verses that I was thinking about is the same God that has been with you in the past is the same God that you can trust and have confidence in the present and in the future. And I look back at my life, and when I see the confusion that I'm having in the present, all I have to do is look back at my past to see where God has been with me and how He has guided all of my steps, even though at the time I was confused and I didn't understand and I lacked the confidence that God wanted me to have. Does anyone else have that problem? Or is it just me? The confidence that God wants you and I to have. The confidence in which we take that confused mind and we clear it all up. We all of a sudden find ourselves on the right track. We find ourselves understanding as we take each step, we do so with God walking by our side. But you know what? The true mind that God wants us to have is one in which God is constantly working at, cultivating, taking the seed of the Word of God that has been given to us, and it is producing something in our lives that we never thought possible. Because you and I have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and because of that, you and I have good ground in which the Word of God, the seed that of God that comes for us through the presence of Him in our lives, is cultivated on the good ground that Christ has laid for us because of what He has done for us on the cross. And so God wants us to have that cultivated mind in which the different things in our lives as we face those challenges, at times when our minds are closed, at times when our minds are cluttered, at times when our minds are confused, God wants us to clear that all out. He wants us to become open to the seed, to the Word of God in our lives so we can grow in Him, so we can mature, so we can see and understand the things of God that we could never see and understand before. God wants us to have a mind in which we always want to grow in Him. So how do we have that cultivated mind that God wants us to have? Well, quite simply, we live a life that honors God. We live a life that is that presence that God wants us to have. We live a life in which we see as we are doing the things each day that we are producing the things and the good ground and the soil that Christ has given us because of what He's done on the cross. We do it by faith. We do it by the good things that we do for each other. Not in terms of a way in which we can earn our way into heaven, but we do good things because we want to honor God. As we have talked about before, we want to do the right thing. We want to do the kind thing. We want to be able to say, even though as difficult as this is, and when I think about it, I think about how difficult it is for me, we want to welcome the enemies in our lives in the same way that we welcome our friends. And not as tough to do. But that's where God wants us to be. If there is a test in terms of how you are growing in God, how you are cultivating the Word of God in your life, I don't know if I can welcome all of my enemies and treat them as my friends, but I know that I am trying. I am trying. And I think that's what God wants us to do, to try. because it reveals how we are truly applying the Word of God in our lives. And then we see different things in our lives. Not righteousness that is out of self-righteousness, where we have that, if you will, that self-righteous attitude that we're better than anybody else, but the righteousness that goes along with the holiness that God wants us to have, because we desire to grow with God. We desire to do those things that honor God. And the spiritual life that we have is something that is genuine. It's not something that we make up. It's not something that we take out of a package and mix with water and hopefully something produces. But it's something that's genuine. It's something that is real. It's something that you and I know that as we walk with God, there's a truth in terms of what it represents. And we see the cultivating that is taking place. We see the different fruits of our life and the relationships that we have. We see how we want to care for others, that we have a burden for others. And it's not always about ourselves. Because if we follow the example of Jesus Christ in the call to worship that we read this morning, it's where Jesus Christ allowed himself to become a servant and was obedient even to death on the cross. In the same way, we are called to be a servant as Christ was. We are called to be obedient to the Word of God in our lives, regardless of wherever it takes us. And we need to have a genuine burden for others, a caring. Then as we're doing those things, all of a sudden when we come and worship or when we're by ourselves, our praise and our thanksgiving just brings honor to God in all that we do, in all that we say. And one of the other things that demonstrates how we are sowing the good seed within our lives and we are cultivating it and we're allowing the fruits of God to be sown to others as we grow and we just produce all kinds of good things, as we find ourselves willing to share what we have with others. And the best definition I have with sharing what we have with others, it has to make us hurt. So in other words, if you're sharing what God has given you with others, and if it doesn't ouch you, hear what I'm saying? If it doesn't ouch you, ouch, right? You understand what I mean by that? If you're sharing what God has given to you with others, and if it's not ouching you, if you're not feeling, oh, God, I don't know if I want to do that. That's kind of a little bit more than I want to. But you know, that's a standard that we should have when we want to share those things that God has given us with others. Because then we truly are doing the things that honor God. We are truly listening. And we're truly understanding. We have the ears that God wants us to have to listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ through his parables, because they walk alongside of us. And we produce the fruit that God wants us to have. An abundance of living, an abundance of joy, an abundance of fellowship, an abundance of love that I think all of us want to have in our relationships with each other, but most importantly, with our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we can sense that abundance. We can see all of those many blessings that God has given us. We can see those little miracles that are taking place in our lives every day. And we say to God, God, I want you to teach me more. I want to hear more of your word. I want to understand more. I want to be cultivated more. And that's where the other parables will come into play as we learn and understand those things in which God wants us to grow in, that God wants us to mature in. And as we have said before here in the chapel, we will never reach perfection. But that does not mean that we should give up trying, because that's how God wants us to live. That when we make a mistake, when we say things that we shouldn't say, when we're unkind to someone else, when we become a little bit more selfish, when we don't want to go through the ouch phase in our lives and we hold something back, and then later on we say, okay, God, I get it. I should have given a little bit more. I should have been a little kinder. Lord, forgive me. I was having a bad day. I had too much caffeine. I didn't have enough to eat. But you know what? It's when that still, small voice is speaking to us to remind us of the things that we need to work on. It's a reminder to you and to me that God is continuing to work in your life and that you have not been forsaken. You are not hopeless. You have value. And God is still working in your life. Because God wants you to cultivate all of the different times that God has planted seeds in your life in that firm foundation, the good soil, the good ground that we have through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the cultivation will continue. The growing will continue. The maturity will continue. And all we have to say is, yes, Lord, allow that seed, Your word, come into my life and help me to produce those things that bring honor and glory to You. Amen. We will have communion here. And for those of you who have not come to chapel before, I practice communion. And what that means is if you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're welcome to take communion with us. Let us be thankful that You have reminded us that in all of our failures, that we have success in You. And God, help us to take those failures, those mistakes, those sins that we have done, the unkindness, the wrongs that we have done, and just lay them before You right now at the cross. And God, we just look up to You right now in spirit and in truth. And we just say, thank You, God, for forgiving us of our sins, of taking all of our imperfections, all of the impurities in our lives, and making them clean, making them whole, making them pure, making them genuine. And God, we just want to praise You for that, that You love us just the way we are. Thank You, God, for this time of communion that we can publicly remember the sacrifice and the life that You want to live through us every day because of the cross. In Christ's name, amen.
For I received from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 431, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Hymn number 431. Alongside of us. And God, we just want to have it in our lives so that we can continue to grow in you and produce the fruit that honors and glorifies you. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.